each one of you perhaps picked up a little paper out back that says God's Purpose. And I'd like for us to turn to 1 John chapter 4. And our study will be from that portion tonight. But we'd like to learn from these other scriptures something that is very important. And oftentimes this verse of scripture is quoted, and it's rightfully should be, that according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now we use that quite often to say that the Lord had us in mind even before the world was founded, before there was a foundation of it. But that isn't all of that verse. That verse says, for what purpose? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, I'm so concerned that perhaps we as Christians don't take that to heart. We often use the excuse, it might be, that my old nature is not gone. I still have it. That's true. But God doesn't deal with that old nature. He wants to deal with you. That old nature, that old man died on the cross. We're to count him as dead. And it is so important that we realize that we are to be holy. Now, I'm not talking about being sinless perfect, but we are to be holy, and we should have a desire to be sinless perfect. That should be our desire. And we're to be without blame. Now, this is so important. What is blame? Now, if we look on our prayer list tonight, the Lord says that we're to pray one for another. Now, and we are to care one for another. And we are to esteem one another. We are to count one worthy as another. Now, if we are not doing those things, let me ask you this, according to the Word of God, are we blameful? According to the Word of God, if we're not doing that. I think that what this is connected here, we are to be holy and without blame. It's in the same context, it's the same verse of Scripture, and you and I are to have a concern. Now, as some of the brothers prayed in their prayers, maybe they all mentioned it, for the ones that are not here, God wants us to either put feet or a telephone or something to our prayers and see why they are not here. Maybe your brother or sister is sick in a physical way. Now, if this were your immediate physical family, right after the meeting, you would find out, wouldn't you? If you were having a family gathering and Mary or Jane or Billy weren't there, you would try to find out, wouldn't you? But the Bible teaches you and teaches me that you and I are closer when we're born again than we are with our physical children, anybody. We're closer one to the other. And this is something that that was really a concern to me. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be mature, he's saying. And the only way that you can do that, and there are only two ways that I believe, that is to study and to pray. And if we do that, if we let God speak to us and then we speak to him, then he's going to permit the Holy Spirit to work through us. Because the more we learn of him, the more we are going to have to put ourselves out of the way. And he says, be of good comfort and of one mind. Now you say, that's impossible. If it were impossible, the Lord wouldn't tell us to do it. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and of peace shall be with you. Now, there's some negatives in that statement that we didn't see, but they're between the lines. Now, he says, be perfect, all right? If you're not going to be mature, if we're not going to be of good comfort, if we're not going to be of one mind, live in peace, then the God of love and peace shall not be with us. Now, this is something that should be a great concern of ours. We should be concerned with everyone that has this place, calls this place their place of fellowship. We should be concerned with that. And Mr. Bramhall made the statement one time that we are all full-time workers. Full-time worker is foreign to that book there. We should all be full-time workers. He has given, as one of the brothers prayed in his prayer, gifts. And we have gifts. And perhaps you don't want to find out your gift, and so we don't study to show ourselves approved unto God. So in Galatians 5:22, we see that the fruit of the Spirit, number one, is love. And I think that perhaps is all of it, and the rest of them are derived from love. Because if you don't have that love, you're not going to have joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against which there's no law. There isn't any law against love. And the Lord Jesus Christ says the law is fulfilled in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love each other. And then Paul says again in Philippians 1:9, and I pray, and I'm sure the Apostle Paul prayed, but he put his prayers to work. He went and he confronted the kings. He confronted the people at Mars Hill. He confronted the people wherever he went. And he was thrown in jail for it. He was stoned for it. He had to be let down off the wall in a basket for it. He was showing that he loved. And Paul said, I would that I myself could be accursed for my brethren. That is Christian love. And so he says, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. Now notice that. Love in knowledge and also in all judgment. And then the Apostle John says, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him as he is, and every man that has this hope does what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Christ wants you and wants me to be like him. Now you say, we'll be that way when we get to heaven. He wants us to strive for that now. The Apostle Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Turn to Philippians there and we'll look at that verse of Scripture. Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that's Philippians 3:10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He wants us to be conformable. He wants us to look like him. Now, we'll show you that in a moment. Now, we need to do this early. It may mean early in life. It may mean early in the morning, but it means early. And Christians, a good time to talk with God and let God talk with you is early. And the psalmist says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. Now, does our soul... Now, you can only be honest with yourself, because honest with yourself and with the Lord. Does our heart thirst for him? Do we want to study his word? Do we want to talk to him? And then the next day, we open up the word and look, and he's answered us. Yes, he will. This is a spirit-filled book, and it will speak to each of us. And then in Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, that's wisdom speaking in the book of Proverbs, and Jesus Christ is wisdom. He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and all that. Now, and early in John 8:2, early in the morning he came again. Now notice that word. We just don't often think it. He came again. He must have practiced being there, right? He came to the temple again, and the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught. He taught those people. Now, also in 1 Thessalonians, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. Now, I think a lot of us are going to have to answer for some blame at the judgment seat of Christ. But there's a lot of things, I believe, there's a lot of things that we should not have to stand there and be blamed for. He doesn't want us to be that. He doesn't want to have to put the blame on us. But before the Lord, even our Father, at His coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now we know when we get there and everything's taken care of, there will be no blame. There will be no unholiness. But He wants us to be that way here until the Lord comes back again. In 1 John 5:3 it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." In Romans 5:5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Then Revelation 3:19, as the Lord was speaking there to the churches, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now, with those scriptures in mind, I'd like for us to turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. And there the apostle says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Practice it. That's what he's saying. Practice it. "For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Loving in the way that he's speaking here. Show that they are children, that by love. Christians do that. My, how they love one another. Now notice, "He that loveth not knoweth not God." Now, if you have a situation like that, you better get it straightened out. Because he says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." We're to practice that, and it shows. And then in verse 9, it says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." Now, we live through Him, and we permit the Holy Spirit to have the ability to send out that testimony. And we go on down here. I'll skip to verse 12. It says, "No man has seen God at any time. Now, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." What's he saying there? He's saying that God can be seen in you, Christian. That's what he's saying. God can be seen in you. And then he says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin." And this is the thing. Not that we love God, he says here. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us." We didn't come to Him because we loved Him. We came because of the Holy Spirit's pricking us, the Holy Spirit's convincing, and then we were converted. But we love Him now. We love Him after that we're saved. But he says, show it. He says, show it in your individual lives. Show that you love. And I think that, you know, that without being critical, but I think if we would care more one for another, we would see something happen. Now, if a person hasn't been in attendance for a month, is it just the what we call the full-time worker? Is that the only one that should be concerned about that one? That is, we should get on the telephone or go visit and see this. Now, Mrs. Mott is home now, and I'm sure that she would like to see somebody. She can't get around very good. She just has this walker. And we need to, and she came here for a while, and I visited her in the hospital and at the Health South. But she's home now, and she has come here, and I believe she would like to make this place the place where she fellowships. But that's just as an example. Now, he says, Hereby know that we dwell in him, now listen, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit take the things from the Word of God and make you sure and make you know that you are his? Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us. That's a mystery, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit can reveal that by the proof that he gives to us. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son, the Savior of the world. That to be is not in the original. And we have seen and do testify. We've seen him, and we're testifying of that fact, that the Father sent the Son, the Savior of the world. Now, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now, what you need to do there, though, you have to go to other scriptures, and all scripture compared with scripture, and you go to Romans 10 and 9, and it says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But you have to realize who it is. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, what John is saying here is true, but people can take this and make it mean what it doesn't mean. Whosoever should confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. No, there's a lot of people that make that profession, but don't have the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have known and believed the love of God, love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God makes this important. If he loves us, but that isn't the point. God loves us. The point is God wants us to love as he loves. That's what God wants. And we have the capacity, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling, living within us, and we have the capacity to be holy and without blame. We have the capacity to be unblameable in holiness. Because God wouldn't have told us that had we not had that capacity in the Holy Spirit. We can walk above the world. Yes, we can. As what it says in Romans 12 and 1. Just turn back there. Romans 12 and 1 tells us that we can do that. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. He doesn't want any other kind. Holy what? Acceptable unto whom? Unto God. Which is your reasonable service. That's the reasonable service of a Christian. That isn't anything about which we should brag. That is our reasonable service. To be the lover that God wants us to be. And then he says, in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. Our love. Now notice, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, where is he today? He's in heaven, isn't he? He's there at the right hand of God. He is there in heaven. But he's pure. He's holy. And all judgment of sin has been taken care of. You and I, as Christians, have had all judgment of sin taken care of, and he wants us to be on this earth. Now notice, that's what it's saying. You see, because as he is, so are we in this world. He wants us to be that way. Now I know that we can stumble, but we need to go to Jude, and he says, unto him who's able to keep us from stumbling. He's able to do this. We don't have to use the excuse that, well, the devil made me do it. The devil cannot make you do anything if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And you're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the devil cannot, I reiterate that, he cannot make a Christian do anything if that Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. If that Christian is as Christ is in heaven. And he says, there's no fear in love. Now notice that. Many people have a fear of what their testimony or something like this. We were talking about our grandson this evening. He's about 7 years old, not quite. And I would figure that all his classmates and everybody around him knows that he got saved because he's that way. He wants them to know. But should we not be like a little child? Should we not be that way? Should we not be glad to tell people that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior? Why are we so prone not to put Him forth? I think it's one word: love. There is no fear in love, but perfect fear or perfect love casteth out fear. Mature love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. See what it says? You're not mature in love if you have the fears. Jesus Christ is able. I don't care what your situation is in your life, whether it's on a deathbed, He's still able. He may not raise you up, but if you're a Christian, you're going to be raised up higher than you ever were before if you leave this life. He is able. And we're not to have this fear. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we're told in Romans 8 and 35, I believe, isn't it, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. So we can't be separated from His love, but do we separate ourselves from love to another as He wants us to do? God's love is eternal. We can't be separated from Him. But what about the love that He's put in us to manifest so people can see God in us, so people can see Christ in us? My son used to sing a song, a solo, "May He Be Seen in Me." Oh, that should be the desire of everyone's heart in here tonight, of every Christian. May He be seen in me. Wouldn't that just be the joy of our lives if we'd walk down the street or go into a restaurant and we would be by our lives, not by pushiness or shovingness or anything that was a facade, but by the truth of the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we radiated the Lord Jesus in that way? Do good works before men and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And this is something that's so important. Now, in verse 19, I know we often say this, and we could paraphrase this and take it from other scriptures, but that isn't what it says in the original. And I don't think that's what he's talking about here in this portion of scripture. We love him. That him is not in the Greek. You get a Greek New Testament, and you'll see it isn't there. We love. And you see, that fits with what's going on above. We love because He first loved us. Now, he's not talking about we love Him. Of course we love Him. But that isn't the text of it. Beloved, let us love one another. That's what he's talking about. And we are able, if we didn't have Him, if He hadn't have come, there couldn't be this love that we're talking about. But we love because He first loved us. We didn't know how to love the way that a Christian should love before we were a Christian. You didn't know that. You weren't aware of that. But He has given us the capacity, if we will study, to show ourselves approved unto Him. Oh, this is what made the New Testament grow. They were persecuted, but they loved. They were persecuted, but they loved. They were persecuted, but they loved. And people said, "My, how they love one another." And this is how I believe to build Christianity. I believe that's what we need. We love because He first loved us. Now listen, if a man say, "I love God and hateth his brother," he is a liar. I didn't say that. That's got teeth in it, does it not? Hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, and we're talking about Christians because unsaved people are not our brothers. Now, that's taught today in the New Age movement that everybody's sisters and brothers. That is not right. You only become a child of God when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I love God and hateth his brother is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen. Now listen, we've seen him, but how could you say you love God if you haven't seen him? We want to see him. That's what he's saying. We want to see God in you. We want to see his actions in you. You have, if we believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit today? He's in everyone in here, right? He's indwelling the believers. So, if he's indwelling us, he wants us to be seen as a Christian. He wants Christ to be seen in us. He wants God to be emanated from us. He doesn't want the devil to be emanated from us. Now, I know that a Christian cannot be demon-possessed, but a Christian can be demon-used. So he says, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? We need to make Christ seen. We need to make him manifest. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That's a commandment. Now, verse 1 of chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, who he is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that's God, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now, if you love God, you love the ones that are born again. Those that are born again. That's what that scripture is saying. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You don't know if you're not loving what it says here, if you're not loving the children of God, you don't know. You see, because this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. My friend, there's scripture after scripture, scripture after scripture, and I don't think that we're following what the scripture says in our daily lives, in our concern, in our life for the corporate gathering that we have. We need to be concerned one for another. There should be no problem that the Lord cannot straighten out. Nothing should be of the degree that cannot be rectified by the Lord. But if we're just going to turn our back and go our way, then God's going to cause us to be smaller than we are now. God wants us to be a testimony, and God wants to see himself emanated to this community. And that's our job in our local assembly. Our job is not to be critical of others. Our job is to do what Christ wants us to do and follow this book as closely as the Holy Spirit gives us guidance to follow it. And all local assemblies are autonomous, and it's none of our business what they do down here at this Methodist church. It's none of our business what they do in that. We are autonomous, but we are responsible in this local assembly to live the life that God has given us light to live. And let me say this, with the wonderful preaching that you've had here in the last year with Mr. Bramhall, we've had lots of light. We've had lots of light. But we're not using that light. We're not using it. For whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I trust that these thoughts will provoke our mind. Take this, put it up on your refrigerator. Look at it. Read it. Please do that. Take it and look at these things. God wants us to be that way. I just didn't pick out one scripture on the subject. I compared scripture with scripture. And you can go clear through the Word of God, and God is love. But listen, my friend, God is also just. God is also just, and He's committed judgment into the hands of His dear Son. The one who came in degradation as far as coming into the world the first time, is coming back as a king. And when He comes back as a king, we're coming with Him. You know that? And I do hope that I won't be rebuked in heaven for not loving other Christians. That's a sad, sad thing, my friend. Not just liking, but loving the way that the Holy Spirit in us is able to make us love. May we sing a hymn in closing. Number 39. Just the first and the last verses. Look at the